If you're a person who desires that the Lord's favor be upon you and God's blessing by way of prayer, you'll appreciate the word, I believe, tonight, that while you are praying, thank God for others. And the word of God says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom also ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth. Let's hear the word of truth tonight, but let's sing hymn number 682, Simply Trusting Every Day. This next hymn says, may he teach us to fulfill what is pleasing in his sight. It's number 318, and that is, now may he who from the dead brought the shepherd of the peace. 318.
Jesus Christ, our King and head, all our souls.
Now, of the Father's love begotten, number 122. Let's stand and sing 226. Rejoice, the Lord is King. 226. Seated. and find the little book of Colossians, a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a tiny little church. The book of Colossians. Just as a way of review, because some of us don't have great retention powers, and we are able to forget some very important things, I'd like us to think a little bit about these first three verses in the first chapter. And I'm still there, and when we get through with the salutations and greetings, the Lord willing will go into the body of the book. Again, may I remind you, it's Paul the writer. And who's Paul? He's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And Timothy, our brother. Who's it written to? Well, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And now tonight, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Let's pray. Our Father, you have brought us here tonight. We may have thought that it was of our own doings. But providentially, you have a plan for each of us, and the plan tonight includes our presence here. Now you've said, Lord, that you would be with us. And we're inviting and begging, beseeching, asking that you would bless us tonight. We are people who need to be blessed. We are fallible. We make mistakes. We need help. We need eternal salvation. We need forgiveness of sins. We need encouragement. We need love. And so tonight, may you minister to us. As we look at your precious word, the word of God, the Holy Bible, God breathed words. And so may the Spirit of God take the precious word of God and cause our hearts to hear, cause us to desire, be submissive to the working of your Spirit in our lives. So, Father, as you have been good to us in so many ways, we want to acknowledge tonight that we're asking for more. And that is that we might have a knowledge of thee and a walk with thee and a life that will be one that will count. And to hear that great commendation in that day, well done, thou faithful and good servant, enter in. Help us now as we ask for this tonight, this matter of praying and thanking you for the blessings of others. In the name of Christ, amen. Ah, yes, it's a letter. That's what it is. You say, well, it says epistle. That's what a letter is. It's the epistle of Paul, the apostle, to the Colossians. You know, written to a little church. I believe it was a tiny church. And I believe it was a house church. And I think there are some things in this book that you and I can learn and profit. The churches met in houses, you know, till the 3rd century. And then they started using buildings. But God used them most wonderfully and when they worshipped in houses. You know, I don't know how you take it, but I think several small churches are better than a couple big ones. You may take your pick if you want to. If you think bigness is the best, I kind of like it so I can say, hi there, how are you tonight? Nice to have you and good to see you again. Whereas some people find they say, we go to church and nobody even says hello to us. They don't even know us. So we don't despise a day of small things. And apparently the Spirit of God doesn't either. Because why in the world would he send a letter, an inspired letter by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Guest, to this little church? This little church no longer exists. And an earthquake in around 65 AD destroyed the whole town, the whole little town. And today you can see this in southern central Turkey, Asia Minor. You can see a Colossi as a hill, a pile of rubble with ground on it. And I must encourage you that there are strong talks about archaeologists going there and doing searching. I'm interested. I have reason to believe they'll find some things. Anyway, this little church was started, we believe, by a man by the name of Epaphras. Now, Epaphras, apparently, when the Apostle Paul was making his third missionary journey up through there, and he got in the area of Ephesus, Epaphras must have had some attendance there, Ephesus. Paul was there for quite a while, and the Lord saved Epaphras. And Epaphras had love for the Lord Jesus and zeal, and he went back to his hometown, the Colossae, and a little church was started. Well, that's fine and dandy, no. As churches have problems, even house churches, we find that as it was earlier, doing quite well, and they had the strong points that we'll get to, the Lord willing. They had these three characteristics. They had faith, and they had love, and they had hope. That's the next few verses. The faith was in the Lord Jesus Christ. The love was for the brethren. And the hope was eternal salvation. They had those three characteristics. Ah, but something came along. Like what? Well, there come along this idea that Jewish religion, Christian religion, and Oriental religions, and Hebrew religions, they're all very good. And so, they called it philosophy. They said, look it. This is what we need to do. We need to have all these. And when we have all these, we'll have high spirituality in the church. Oh, really? Yeah. And Epaphras was, as a young preacher, I don't know what his age was, really. He didn't know how to handle that. Now, some people are very proud. They think that you don't. It isn't spiritual to take advice. And they won't take advice. Men won't take directions if they get lost. They stop and say, hey, buddy, how do I do this? That was beneath us. Although I'm one that does, I'm concerned about saving money. It won't take me very long to stop and ask somebody how to get out of here. Anyway, I do want to say this to you. Epaphras said, you know, I heard the Apostle Paul was imprisoned by the Roman government in Rome. Someone says, Epaphras, do you have any idea how far away that is from Colossae to Rome? He said, yeah, I know it's a great distance. Well, there are no planes in those days. Well, that's evident. And there's no highways, real good highways. There's some Roman highways that are pretty good. I'll acknowledge that. But there are some boats. But how far, Epaphras, do you think you have to go to see the Apostle Paul who's in prison in Rome? He said, well, I think by the way of the crow, it may be 900 miles. But as you travel this way and that way, maybe it's over 1,000 miles. And you're going to go 1,000 miles to talk to the Apostle Paul about some problems here in the little church? He said, I tell you, I believe that's what I need to do. And did he do it? Yes. Found Paul in prison, in house arrest. Paul, there he is. He is 24 hours, 7:24. His right arm is shackled to a soldier. Each have their duties, their times. He said, Paul, you're an apostle. An apostle is one who has seen the Lord. God has given him supernatural gifts. God has blessed him in so many ways. He was the last of the apostle. Apostle means a messenger of God. And he said, I'm here to tell you about Colossae. And he said, these folk, there's some of them, I tell you, they love the Lord Jesus, as you'll see in verse 5. They love the Lord Jesus, and they love each other, and they have hope of eternal salvation. But we're having a problem with this ecumenical type of a thing in all kinds of religions mixed together. And people are buying into it because it's a higher type of religion, and people want to be, you know, in vogue and have the latest thing that comes to town. But anyway, not only did that, but they had a problem of angelology, the worship of angels. And they used the angels as intermediators between God and man. Do you know what? If you're half awake, you know angelology is very prevalent today throughout the world. If you even watch a movie or two. And astrology is also involved in the problem here at Colossae in that day. He said, I don't know how to handle it. I've come, Paul. Maybe you can tell me what to do. And then he said, we have this problem. We've got some of these Jewish fellas. They're coming in. And they said, oh, wait a minute. Jesus is fine. But you know what? You need to also have some of these rigid observances and days. And circumcision is necessary too. And he says, they're really pushing. Paul said, well, I'll write a letter to them. And so he has this letter in your lap. And so we have the first verse, Paul the writer. Who's Paul? Paul is a brilliant scholar, a trained Pharisee. His name was Saul before he got saved. When he got saved, they gave him another name called Paul. All right. Now that he's a Christian and loving the Lord and a new man in Christ, it also says he's an apostle. Now, already told you, an apostle is a messenger from God who's seen the Lord. I also told you that he's of Jesus Christ, the Savior and the Messiah. And it is by not his own desire. Some people say, you know what I'm going to do when I get out of school? I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go study for this. You are. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe he has a plan for you, you better find out what the Lord Jesus wants you to do. You think you'll tell me? Yes, I do think you'll tell me. Providentially arranged for you, maybe this door will be open and this will be shut. And whatever calling you're into, take it of God. Don't get this idea that the high, holy calling is to be a missionary, preacher, or a deacon, or whatever, an elder. Whatever God calls you to do, you do it the best you know how. Listen, friends, if you get high and mighty, let's take away some of these bridge builders and see how well you can get home tonight with no bridges. These jobs are important. They're callings of a God. Well, that's interesting. Yes, it is. But it's by the will of God, not by man. I'm looking at verse 1. He didn't choose to do it. God said, you're going to be my servant, my apostle. Now he says, also Timothy, or Timotheus, which is the Greek, our brother. He said, it's from us. My assistant, my associate, not another apostle. He was not an apostle. He was an assistant to Paul. What a nice guy he was. His daddy was a Greek. His mother was a Jewess. Well, I don't think that worked out real well, but I tell you what it did do. He was able to speak Greek and he was able to speak Hebrew. And he knew the ways of the Hebrew, how they operated, and he knew the ways of the Greek. And where they're going into Greek territory, where there's some Hebrews, and this young man got saved because he had a godly mother and a godly grandmother. Precious. They apparently wasn't a Christian. And Timothy got saved. Paul said he was my spiritual son. It must have been by the influence, the preaching of the gospel by Paul, that he got saved. Anyway, he asked him, he said, would you be interested in going along with me and to assist me He said, I'd very much like to do that, Paul. He said, well, fine, come on, let's go. There they are. And Paul's in prison. There's Timothy. He's a brother. A brother. I like that word. Brother. The Masonics, the worldly bunch, they call each other brothers, don't they? Oh, but this is not the same. This is a family of God. This, the word brother means come from the same womb. It has the idea that through faith in Jesus Christ, we become sons of God. And we are adopted into God's family. And we sit around the table together. And the Father is the head. And we have our big brother, our blessed Lord Jesus. He's a brother that sticketh a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's Jesus Christ. Oh, fine. He said, well, anyway, we want to know who the letter's written to. Verse 2. It's to the saints and faithful brethren of Christ, which are Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. What's so significant about that? Saints are people that they're super. And they've done some things on this earth. And when they die, they get canonized and they become saints. Oh no, that's not Bible. The word saint means separated one. God has touched them and has they are now submitted to God. They're separated to serve the Lord Jesus. That's what the word saints means. Look it up for yourself. So they were people who were separated unto God. They were consecrated to God. Well, that's fine. They were where? At Colossae. And it says they were faithful. That word faithful means believing. Full of faith. Epaphras told him about how that these people were consecrated to God and they were faithful. And they were brethren in Christ. In Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me. In Christ. That is connected to Christ. As he is the stem, the stock, and they are the branches. Connected. In Christ. Connected. Oh, you can be connected spiritually into Christ? Yes. And it says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that word grace means, it is the word that means it's undeserving. God, I don't deserve the wonderful things you've done for me. He said, that's right. It's my grace, God's grace, I bestow it upon you. Blessings from on high. It's from me. It's nothing of your doings, your works. It's me. I've saved you by my grace. And he says, do you know what I also give you? I'll give you a peace that passes all understanding. Talk to me about peace. And I could talk all night and say, peace is this, peace is that, peace. Say, I don't think you're getting across the Bible says that's right. It's a peace that passes the understanding. And people won't understand you if you have the peace that it says here. He's wishing them, desiring that they might have God's favor upon them, salvation, and that peace. Where does it come from? It comes from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's get on to verse 3. Now, in writing letters, there are protocols, and it was in that day, they would start out, not like we do, and said, this is from Bill, and he gives a little blessing to them, and desire the best for them, God wish them the best, but they usually would add on something religious. Yes, pagan people can talk religious too, and if some deity of some sort, they would wish the favor of the goddess to the sun or something upon them. And so Paul, as they were accustomed to that kind of procedure, verse 3, he's now entering into them. He said, I'd like you to know this, that we, that is a team of that is Timothy and I, and Epaphras is here, we have prayer time. We, what about we? We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Well, I tell you, friends, it's touching when somebody really feels that prayer does. God hears prayer. And that you can have an audience with God. And God listens. And so he's saying, I want you to know, as a team, when we pray, he said, we give thanks to God. And God the Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every time we have prayer, we think of you, we thank God for you. What? He said, we thank God for you people at Colossae. While we're praying, and you come to our mind. Now you see, the Jews believed you should pray three times a day. Morning, evening, morning, noon, and night. Paul isn't talking that kind of prayer. He said, you know, when God lays us, when we have prayer together here in prison, he had a house arrest, he could have prayer meeting, and people would come, he said, and as we would pray, he said, you know, every time we would pray, and someone mentioned Colossae, he said, we would give thanks to God for Colossae. That they were people noted for their faith in Jesus Christ. And they were people who had love of the brethren. They were people who had hope of eternal salvation. And he said, we give thanks for you people. That's touching. He says, we don't do it, you know, once in a while I think of you and I say a prayer for you. He said, no, it isn't that way. The word here is always near the end. He said, every time we pray for you, we always give thanks for you. Oh, come on. You know, isn't there a once in a blue moon kind of an idea? I prayed for you. When was that? Well, I don't remember when it was. I don't know. Maybe it was a month or so ago. I don't remember, but I did pray for you. Hey, that's not what verse 3 is talking about. That's not what that verse... That verse is not saying, you know, out of sight, out of mind. I don't even think about you anymore. Paul said, when we think about you, folks, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And every time we have prayer, and you come to our attention, we pray and give thanks to God for you. Wouldn't it be a nice thing if you knew that some people appreciated you enough that they would go to the Lord in prayer and says, you know, sister so-and-so, Lord, I thank you for her. Brother so-and-so. You see, the trouble of it is, we look at each other and say, you know what's wrong with him? I can tell you what's wrong with him. What's wrong with him? Well, he doesn't do this. And so you might look at spots and say, you know, he ought to do this. And look at each other critically. That's not what verse 3 is saying. He said, you know, how can I put it? Is it possible to be married and not like your mate, but love her or love him? Now, come on now, you're talking double talk. It's possible, friends. It is. Thank God it's not so in my life. It's possible that you live with a person and you say, I really love him, I really love her, but you know, I don't like. He's really a hard guy to get along with. And I get so upset with my husband, I get so upset with my wife, and I tell you, sometimes I could just scream. And I don't like what he does. I don't like the way he treats me. I don't like the way she yells at me. But I do love her. And I do love him. You say that can be. Oh, yes. And so when you find that people say, you know, I don't like him, I wouldn't pray for him, you better look at verse 3. You better look at verse 3. If these people say, I do love the Lord, And I'm not perfect. I got a lot of improvement, but I try to do what's right. I may be a little dumb. I may be a little clumsy. You see, but if you would pray for that person in spite of the things you don't like. Oh, friends, would you listen to that? That's what it's saying. This is the Word of God. This is the inspired Word of God. God says this. This is not the Apostle Paul. The Word of God says, listen, brethren, when the point comes down to this, that while you're praying, you thank God for others. Whether you like them or you don't. They need help. What a passage. Not habitually, or, hello, Robbins is having a problem, would you pray for him? See, I don't ever pray for him. You ought to pray regularly. It is the idea, the tense of this verse is the present tense, which means continuous. Not emergency, but continuous. Brethren, it would make a big difference if we understood this verse, and we would pray for one another constantly, continuously, not just for emergencies. That's the Greek. Present tense. Oh. Well, I wonder about what to pray for. If we just would pray for one another, we would have quite a prayer session, wouldn't we? I thank the Lord for you. He said, now wait a minute, that's nice. And I said that to a good many of you folk. But listen, you tell the Lord. You tell the Lord you're grateful for that person. What are you going to tell the Lord? There has to be some white, nice spot somewhere on that person. And we ought to know each other as brethren. To me, this is touching. I tell you, if you just study it, you'll see the depth of this verse. This business of giving thanks. You know those lepers? That's a sad story. Do I have time to go to that? Well, maybe you'll just take us. Luke 17. Why do you want to go there for? Well, it shows how easy it is for us. We can do the same thing as those lepers. Don't be hard on those fellas. And you say, well, you're going to read the whole passage? Probably not. But in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, we have this story here that to our blessed Lord in verse 11, it came to pass, you know, and as he went to Jerusalem, and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10. You get that number? Luke 17, verse 11. Met 10 men that were lepers. And you know the rest of the story. They had to stand afar off. It was the law. They stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, you go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed from leprosy. That's an unheard of thing. This was a miracle of God. This wasn't Doc taking care of it. This was God. And he says, you know, they went. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, what did he do? He turned back and with a loud voice, he glorified God, and he fell down his face at his feet, giving who thanks? Giving God the Son thanks. And he was a Samaritan. No, he wasn't a Jew. He was a Samaritan outcast. And then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Huh? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. You think we're changed? Do we in prayer? We have petitions. We take time to say, I'm thinking of Sister So-and-so, and I know right well that she needs prayer. I know she does. And so, Lord, I thank you for her, and I appreciate her faith in thee, and just talk about her and him. And just keep on talking. Say, I can tell you this. He's got some strange ways. He is a strange one. But I tell you what, he loves the Lord Jesus. And I ask you today, help him, Lord. Help him. See, we'll pray for people who have addictions. That old druggie, man, I trust God to get a hold of him. You know, we can pray for emergencies, people that are sick. It's not saying that in verse 3. And Paul is saying, I want you people at Colossae to know this. every time in a team spirit that we, if it's, I think it's Timothy and it's probably Epaphras, he's still there. He said, we bow in prayer. He said, we come up, and as we do this habitually, we thank God for all of you. Paul was in jail for 3 years up to this time. You think he had a grateful heart being in jail for 3 years? And he was thanking God. Man, that's something. It says here, to God the Father. To God the Father. And of our Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father. The Father, God the Father is the fountain. Yes. He's the source of all good things. God is the one who gives good things. The Bible says that. Oh, okay, fine. All right. But I want to tell you something. The means is by way of Jesus Christ. You say, who's Jesus Christ? He's the Lord Jesus Christ. The word Lord means he's the master. And Jesus means the Savior. And Christ is Christos, which means the anointed one of God. And so I want you to know something. It is by the mediatorship of the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I have contact. If you know Christ as your Savior, He's the one. He is the means by where we can speak to God. We are now children of God through faith in Christ. We can talk to God now because we're sons of God through faith in Christ. It's by way of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not showing that God is bigger than... No. But the Godhead, as we would say, the triunity of God, three persons in one, not three gods. You say, you get into that. No, I won't tonight, but I just tell you, God the Father has a particular position, God the Son has a job, and God the Holy Spirit. They are one God, one God. Three different office jobs. One person. Really? Okay, what's the point? The point is this. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the Master. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And I tell you, friends, he says this, I give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And we can know the Father through the Son. No man cometh on the Father but by me, the Lord Jesus says. If you don't know Lord Jesus Christ personally, intimately, you're not going to get to heaven. No man can come to the Father except by me. I am the way, he said. I'm the truth and the life. He is the only way. Oh, well, yeah, I know. You got indoctrinated by ecumenical ideas too, didn't you? I tell you, you want to go on? Maybe you ought to read Colossians more. If you have that idea of ecumenical spirit, that everybody is fine and good, there's only one way to heaven. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. If God doesn't show you that, I'll tell you, you'll die and go to hell. And I don't want that. You better listen up. This is God's word. And so here we are. And he says, he's the one who's made us the Father. He's the one that shaped us. Don't call him the man upstairs, the big guy up there. Don't call God that. You have no concept of God if you call him about the man upstairs. It shows how ignorant you are. It's God Almighty, the Creator, the one who created the whole universe. That would be kind of a slap. But people do that. But it shows how ignorant we are. People need to be prayed for. Need salvation to talk about God like that. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's God. You know, He came. He took residence in a little baby and grew up. God took flesh. God, very God of very God. Total humanity, also total God. What a marvelous thing. But it's true. God, man, Jesus Christ. And he's the one. He's the Lord, it says there. He's the Lord. He's the Master. He's the Savior. He's the Christos. He's the anointed one of God. This is the one we need to know about, my dear friends. He's unique. I like that scripture says, "If the Son of God is, if the Son of God make you free, you should be free indeed." What do you mean free? Not flying around? Now listen, what does it mean to be free? Well, does it mean I'm out of jail? No, wait a minute. It means if He makes you free, He'll free you from your sins. He'll free you from your bondage. We got some monkeys on our backs, in case you don't know it. Tell me what you think about a lot. It's a monkey. So I just can't get rid of that guy. He hangs on to me. But He says, you know, He can make you free. I tell you, my heart goes out to those who are addicted. I really am. I know what alcoholic addiction's about. I've seen a lot of it. And you know what? If the Son make you free, you should be free indeed. You say, well, it takes psychiatrists and sugar-teated psychology to get you free from your addiction. No, no. If the Son make you free, you'll be free indeed. And He can deliver you from your bondage. He can deliver you from your sins. And not only that, He'll deliver you from the judgment to come. How you like to stand before God Almighty all by yourself? Mama's not there. Dad's not there. Preacher's not there. And He says, how about you? You want the mountains to fall on you, that says in the last book of the Bible. You're afraid because God is speaking to you at the judgment seat. But if you have the Son, you're in Him. He saved you. His Spirit. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? You have the Holy Spirit in you. Wow, what it means to be a Christian. And so He says, all right. He's saying to them, you know, I like this. Soon be April. April shower brings May flowers. The soft, warm rains of April softens the soil so we can start planting things. Nice, soft soil. Now we can go out and plant some things. Paul is doing that. He's not flattering these people. He's really, it's like showers from heaven. Soften these people up, because He's going to get after this whole thing of heresies in that church, that little house church there in Colossae. And He's going to deal with it. Sometimes we got to deal with things. It's nice that somebody says, you know, if I have to get after you, you know that I'm concerned for you. I love you. There's a scripture verse that goes something about like, if the righteous admonish you, that it's pleasant. Hey, you don't believe that, do you? If the righteous admonish you, that it's pleasant. You don't believe that, do you? What's he think? Who's he think he is talking to me like that? Oh, but sometimes, you see, we get angry because we know it's touching us. And I don't want to hear any more about my sins. Oh, but if the Son make you free, you shall be free indeed. And it says, He says there, when we pray, we give thanks. Now, when it comes to prayer, now I lay me down to sleep. Little ditties. You say, well, don't make fun of little children. I'm not. That's fine. But when I'm now 20-some, 30-some, 40-some, 50-some, 60-some, and I say little prayers like that, something's not quite right. Just to say the same old, same little short prayer, maybe say it, Father, I am such a weak little thing. Listen, if you're really desirous of having help, you're not going to be a little soft-spoken. You'll say, God, my Father, I am in need. Help me. Please help me. Hang on to His trousers, if I may, as a little baby would. Why do you mean you can't pray? Well, I have nothing to pray about. This verse says pray for others. Thank God for them. Don't just pray for those that have their sin problems. Pray for those that you don't even know perhaps about their sin problems, but you know they love the Lord Jesus. This business of real quickly I say a prayer and get in the car and go. But the Bible really speaks to me in a prayer constantly, an attitude of prayer. At any time somebody come to your mind, you'd say, Dear Lord, wherever you are, going down the highway, doing the dishes, whatever you do, say, Lord, that person comes to my mind, I'm asking you, I thank you for that person. I'm asking you to meet the need there, whatever it might be. Is that so? Yes, it is. It's amazing what the Lord will do if you're sensitive like that. And so here we are. He's talking with God. And you know, we are, as the Bible says, we're temples of the Lord. We're a temple. We're a house of prayer. That's what they called the temple back in the Old Testament, a house of prayer. And now we are temples of God. We're a house of prayer. Say, well, I've got to go to church to pray. Woo-hoo, that's great. Prayer meeting is a wonderful thing. It's one of the best services, has been my experience. But that's fine. Corporate prayer, that's what we ought to do. But it also means that you're also a temple of God. Your body, your house, it's a house of prayer. You ought to be noted for the fact that you pray. You say, well, I got work to do. I can't be talking to God. You can't talk to God. He knows the thoughts and the intents of my heart. Do I need to verbalize? No. God is God. You say, well, that's scary because some thoughts aren't really real good. That's right. You need prayer. Say, God, that wasn't right. I confess my sins. He's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from it. So I got a real problem. Talk to him about it. And by the way, it says in the council of many, there's safety. I think it's good. The Bible says you older ladies, you're to help the younger ladies. Well, they wouldn't pay attention to me. Are you sure? We older guys are to make friends of the young guys. They have their heroes. They wouldn't pay attention to an old geezer. You don't know. Make friends with God's children. Oh, this is a marvelous verse. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praying always for you. For you. For you. Friend, you're a work of God. Did you know that? Who made you? Come on. Yeah, who made you? Well, I had a mama, a daddy. Who made you? Well, you're trying to make me believe God did it. Yeah, God did it. And he was pleased. Or he wouldn't have made you. He made you in an image of him. You have some intellect. Yes, you say, some of you can say, I'm really smart. Some of us can't say that. But I'm really smart. Well, who gave you the smarts? Oh, I got it on my own. Did you get it on your own? Oh, that's interesting. Who put the DNA all together? Well, I don't know. It's just the way it is. Hey, God, you're a piece of his work. If you feel that nobody loves you and you aren't worth much and you say, I'm not much good, I get criticized, they talk about me and so forth, but you're a work of God, each of us. And if you're a work of God, then verse 3 says, I ought to acknowledge to God when I think of you and say, you know, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, you created him, Lord. I know that you did, and I want the best for him because we are spirit and we're soul and we're body. What's the spirit? That which God has put in us. God is a spirit. We have a spirit. We have a soul which is a mental capacities. And we have a body. We can ask the Lord for all three of those things. I need some help mentally. I need some help physically. I need help spiritually. I don't know if I'm saved. If that's the way you're talking, this verse is applicable. You go to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the mediator between God and man. He's the one that died on the cross for our sins. He's the one that loved us so much that he shed his precious blood. He's the one that not only was he died on the cross and he buried him, but he arose again. And he's the living Savior. He sits at the right hand of God the Father. He's not a dead Christ on a cross. He's in heaven. He's making intercession for his people. Now pray to him. Boy, preacher, you better listen to yourself. I will. God helping me. I try to. I'll tell you one thing. I'm not perfect. And neither are you. We need prayers. All of us need prayers, friends. And so by the results of the preaching there, those folk, he said, praying for you is by the preaching of the gospel that they come to know the Lord. They embraced the gospel, those folk at Colossae. Old Epaphras, he must have preached to them and told them, listen, Jesus Christ is the answer for your sin problem. You need to know him personally. You need to repent of your sins and trust him. He's the living Savior and you get forgiveness. He'll make you free. I guess really I ought to ask each of us, oughtn't I? Do you ever pray for others? Oh, yeah. When we call on the phone, so-and-so's going to have an operation, or somebody's hurt, we pray. No, 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 wait a minute. Do you pray for others? Look at verse 3. While you are praying. You say, well, I pray. Yeah, while you are praying. That's fine. Will you thank God for individuals and persons that you're familiar with, including the president? No, I'm a Democrat. I'm not going to pray for the president. No, come on. Where do you get that? See, you draw things in that isn't there. I tell you, God works in the hearts of all of us. People that are hell-deserving sinners. You know you deserve. You've been rebellious. You've broken his laws. You've broken the commandments. In thought, word, and deed. And if you break the commandments, even one of them, you're guilty of them all. And because of it, you go to hell. Say, oh no, it isn't that way, preacher. Yes, it is. And that's why we need the Savior. That's why we need to call upon him. He's the wonderful Savior. And not only that, when you do as these people, he says in verse 5, they had hope. Yes, they did. They had a hope that was laid up for you in heaven. Yes. And he said, and whereof we have heard before the word of the truth of thy gospel, which has come unto you, and is that in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit. And they brought fruit, they had gifts, as it doth also in you, since that ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. And he talks about Epaphras, as ye also learned of Epaphras. These folk in Colossae, they learned from Epaphras, come on. Our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of God, who also declared unto you love in the Spirit. That's one sentence, by the way. And that is something that's kind of hard for some of us people who are used to itty-bitty little sentences. When the Bible gives a sentence, it may be long, but you got to stay with it. You know, I sometimes think that we get so concerned about evangelization. And I think that's good. But we get to so concerned that we neglect spiritual growth. Not only of yourself, but others. Evangelize, preach the gospel. Yes, sir, amen. But also don't forget about the need for spiritual growth. It might be that hymn number 410 is applicable for us tonight. Ask the Lord to take us. Lord, take me. Well, what do you mean? Listen, sing intelligently, 410. Take me, O my Father, take me. Take me, save me, through thy Son. Pay attention to the words, please, 410.
Thank you.
Let's stand and have prayer. I want you to close your eyes. Why? Well, it just may be that someone here tonight is saying, boy, I just wish I had some of that which you talked about, forgiveness of sins, and I like some prayer. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that's feeling I just could use some prayer, and not looking around, you just raise your hand and say, I could use some prayer. Maybe, you're going to pray for me by name? No, I won't do that. I would embarrass you. I'll tell you what, if you don't confess God before men, he'll not confess you. Anyone here tonight that says, I really could use some prayer, and I'd like to be saved. Anybody would like a prayer? Raise your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes? Who else? I need prayer. Okay. Nobody looking around. Now, put your hand down. Let me ask you this. How many would like that tonight? Say, you can open your eyes. Say, I wish that when you're praying, you'd pray for me. Anybody going to raise your hand? I wish when you're praying, you'd pray for me. Hey, would you pray for me? Our Father, you've seen the hands tonight. Those who are desirous of eternal salvation and faith in Christ. Lord, we ask for your grace, your saving grace. Our blessed Lord Jesus, by his Spirit, bring realization of sin, confession of sin, and faith in Christ. Bless them, Lord, in salvation. And for the rest of us who perhaps haven't come to know you savingly, but we have need for prayer. And as I didn't even look around much, Father, that's between them and you. But as we look upon each other, may we have, when we're in prayer, may we pray for one another. And especially as we're going about our work, and you bring attention certain people to us, help us to just lift a word of prayer for your best for them. Thank you once again tonight, Lord, for being with us and helping us. May your benediction and blessing be upon of us, all each of us. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated. And as the service is officially over, but we do have a time of maybe a question or some input that you might want to share in addition to this passage, something that may have come to your mind.
Seems like many of the prayers recorded in Scripture are intercessory prayers for others.
Isn't that nice? Thank you, brother, for bringing that to our attention. Intercessory prayers for one another. Well, I do wish you well this week, and especially from these loved ones of mine from a long way off. It's so good to see them, isn't it? Amen.
Did you know you're on the...